clerk call the roll, please?
Commissioner Shajian.
Here.
Commissioner Blank.
Here.
Commissioner Berg.
Here.
Commissioner Clark.
Here.
Commissioner Neely.
Here.
Commissioner Riley.
Here.
Commissioner Schallenberger.
Here.
Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Chairman Kruer.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Wait, you missed me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Commissioner Cram.
I'm here.
I did call you.
You've never been included on any of our votes ever.
Anyway, Commissioner Cram's here, so that's fine. Thank you. Before we get going, Commissioner Blank, you asked for...
Sure. I'm just wondering, after yesterday's unanimous vote on LNG, whether there's a sense of the commission and commissioners of whether we'd care to take a position on legislation that might be introduced to have the follow-on LNG terminals actually have to come together and for us to look at them and the state to look at them as a group rather than serially. I know Director Douglas had mentioned publicly yesterday that the issue was we need to look at them serially, and I know last year there was a bill to do that that was unfortunately killed in committee. Was that correct, Director Douglas?
Didn't make it through the process. I forget exactly where it died. But it didn't make
and I'm
it
just wondering if there's a sense of the commissioners of what I'd like to finish. Thank you. Of whether we'd like to support something for staff and our legislative analyst. No. Of whether the commission would like to go on record of doing that.
Why don't you put it on for next month, Peter?
Put it on. The last time there was such a bill, the commission did, in fact, take a position of support.
Great.
For it.
Would we like to
right.
take another one?
We can certainly do that. We couldn't take any action today because it's not on the agenda, but we can put it on. The problem is that it's really too late. These projects are in the pipeline now, and that was one of the issues with the legislation last year. There was no ability to just stop all of those processes for these different facilities. It would have been good to have done this before they started, like what was done in 77, but the legislature didn't do that, so all of these companies proceeded, and that was the dilemma we had last year when we looked at it. From our perspective, it wouldn't have done any good because all these projects would have been grandfathered and it wouldn't have benefited us in terms of any kind of comparative analysis. But we can look at that issue and see if there is some suggested legislation that might help, and we can certainly bring that back for discussion next month if you'd like.
Well, that's why I just want to ask fellow commissioners rather than, I mean, that happens to be an independent position. I know we can't vote on it, but I was just interested in if there was if that was an individual opinion or whether others felt we'd be supportive.
Well, most of us voted on it last time.
I think you could bring it back next month and we could, if that'd be possible.
We'll give you a report and some thoughts on it next month.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, with that, we'll go. Director Douglas, do you want to say something before we get going with Mr. Merrill?
Only that, Bob, are there any changes on the agenda, Bob?
Yes, there are a couple. The changes are to page 18, agenda item 6A, which is the application of Humboldt County Public Works that's been moved to consent. And then on page 19, item 6.5A, which is the amendment for the City of Eureka, was postponed as marked on the agenda. And at this time, I'd just indicate to those in the audience that if they wish to speak to the commission, they need to fill out a speaker slip on the back table and give it to someone on staff. And that table also contains addendums for today's items and a binder with the previously published staff reports. And then a reminder to all to please turn off your cell phones. The We did distribute last evening the North Coast packet that had two items, the pink deputy director's report and a green addendum with two letters. The pink addendum contains one permit waiver for an oyster restoration research project submitted by the City of Arcata, and we're recommending that the commission concur with the executive director's determination to waive the need for a permit. So through the chair, we'd ask if there's any questions or objections to this item.
Are there any objections to finding concurrence with the executive director's determinations? Hearing none, the commission concurs.
There on the addendum is listed item 3A, which is a certification review for Humboldt County LCP amendment HUMMAJ 2-06, which the commission certified with suggested modifications at its meeting of November. We are simply reporting to the commission that the county board has taken the necessary actions to accept the suggested modifications adopted by the commission and to implement the previously certified LCP amendment. The amendment was actually a resubmittal of an amendment that involved a comprehensive update of the housing element portion of the county's general plan that the commission approved with suggested modifications on February 9th, 2006. And the county resubmitted that because they disagreed with a couple of the suggested modifications. The commission in turn acted in November to certify the resubmitted amendment, but did add three suggested modifications. And we've reviewed the resolution and ordinance adopted by the board, and we believe that they're legally adequate to meet the requirements of the commission's regulations. So therefore, we recommend that the commission concur with the determination that these actions of the board are legally adequate.
Any objection to finding concurrence? Hearing none, the commission concurs.
That brings us to the consent calendar. As I noted, item 6A, the application of the Humboldt County Department of Public Works, has been moved to consent. And for the benefit of anyone who might be here on this item, it'll now be heard as part of the consent calendar, where the issue will be limited to whether the item should be removed from the consent calendar. And if the commission should determine to remove it from the consent calendar, the item would be heard at its regular scheduled location on the agenda. This application from the Humboldt County Public Works Department would implement a stream restoration project along Rocky Gulch, which is a creek between Eureka and Arcata. The project's being funded by the Department of Fish and Game, and its primary purpose is to reestablish access to spawning, rearing, and refuge habitat for anadromous salmonids. As conditioned, we believe the project's consistent with Section 30236 of the Coastal Act because the primary function is the improvement of fish and wildlife habitat and incorporates the best mitigation measures feasible to reduce impacts on the creek. And so we recommend that you approve the permit with the recommended special conditions upon the close of the consent calendar public hearing.
But no speaker slips. Vice Chair Neely.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the consent calendar.
Second.
Moved by Vice Chair Neely, seconded by Commissioner Riley. Any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this? Hearing none, the commission approves unanimously the consent calendar.
That brings us to item 5A, which is an appeal by Martin Kitzel and Commissioners Caldwell and Juan from a decision of Mendocino County granting a permit with conditions to the Redwood Coast Land Conservancy to develop public access facilities at Hearn Gulch, which is an approximately 6-acre coastal terrace and pocket beach area about 5 miles south of Point Arena. The project, as approved by the county, would involve improving existing trails, paving a new encroachment onto Highway 1 and constructing a four-car parking area and installing informational signage and symbolic fencing. The project also includes restoring areas of erosion caused by past vehicle use. The green addendum contains two letters, one from the appellant in support of the staff recommendation and one from another neighbor who is also in support of the project. And we're recommending that the commission find that the contentions raise a substantial issue of conformity with the LCP and that you then act on the project de novo to approve with conditions the project as it's been revised by the applicant to delete the proposed paved parking lot to reduce impacts on environmentally sensitive habitat. The primary issue raised by the appeal is, in fact, the project's impacts to ESHA. The project site provides habitat for four sensitive plant species, including Blaisdell's bent grass, coastal bluff morning glory, Pacific gilia, and purple stem checker bloom. As approved by the county, the improved parking area would directly affect some of the checker bloom plant habitat, and many of the improvements would be sited very close to other plant species. The appellant contends that the approval is inconsistent with the ESHA policies of the certified LCP, as well as the portions of the coastal access policies that indicate that access facilities should be provided in a manner that is protective of natural resource areas. And we're recommending that you find the contentions raise a substantial issue of conformity with the LCP and the public access policies of the Coastal Act, because the county did not explain in their findings why the intrusion into the habitat would be consistent with the LCP policies and why a reduced buffer of less than 50 feet is consistent when there's a minimum standard of 50 feet in the LCP. We further believe that the county hadn't identified alternatives that might further reduce the impacts. So unless there are three or more commissioners who wish to hear more about the substantial issue, the appeal would be presumed to raise a substantial issue, and the commission would move directly to the de novo portion of the hearing. Well, therefore, at this time, I'd ask through the chair.
I'd like to first ask if there's any ex parties, then I will ask that question. Thank you. Are there any ex parties on this?
No, sir.
Commissioner Juan?
Yes, last night when I got back to my room, I opened up my email, and there was an email that constituted an ex parte from Julie Varan, saying that, she was requesting that the monitoring of the plants be retained. The plants are being tromped on, and the Land Conservancy will still be restoring the dirts and the plants in the parking lot and putting in bollards and chains, and therefore the monitoring requirement should still be retained.
Thank you, Commissioner Juan. Anyone else? Then it would be appropriate then at this time, is do three or more commissioners object to the finding of substantial issue? Hearing none, the commission has found substantial issue and we'll go straight to the de novo.
For the de novo portion of the hearing, we're recommending that the commission approve with conditions the coastal development permit. We believe that the project, as it's been modified by the applicant for purposes of the de novo review, would avoid any significant adverse impact to the rare plants and would be consistent with the LCP and public access policies. For purposes of the de novo review, the changes that were made by the applicant included eliminating the proposed parking improvements, reducing the degree of improvements to the existing beach access trail. As revised, the project now includes making minor improvements to two existing trails, installing a bollard and chain vehicle barrier adjacent to the existing gravel vehicle pullout, and installing fencing and informational signing. And in our opinion, the revisions would eliminate all new development within the sensitive habitat and existing ESHA buffer areas. Portions of the project would be located closer than 50 feet from ESHA areas, even with the revised project. However, where those public access improvements are proposed is where public access facilities already exist. The proposed project, as I say, the improvement to the existing trails would not extend further towards the ESHA, and the bollard and chain vehicle barrier would be on the edge of the existing pullout. So therefore, we think it's consistent with the ESHA policies, as the ESHA buffer would be maintained as it presently is. The proposed project would also have the effect of consolidating indiscriminate public use of the property and preventing vehicles from heading out onto the headland, and therefore we think it has additional benefits for controlling impacts to sensitive habitat. We are recommending several conditions. We're recommending that the proposed monitoring of the installation of the public access improvements be carried out as proposed by the applicants. We also have a condition that would expressly require that any future improvements or changes to the program require an amendment that could be reviewed by the commission to ensure consistency with the ESHA policies. And then also with regard to the public access improvements, we're recommending that the applicants submit a revised public access management plan for the review and approval of the executive director consistent with LCP policies, and that they submit evidence that they've obtained all necessary encroachment permits and other permits from Caltrans in the county. And so as conditioned, staff recommends that the commission find that the project is consistent with the Mendocino County LCP and the public access and recreation policies of the Coastal Act. And the motion to adopt the staff recommendation of approval with conditions is found on page 6.
We have no speaker slips. I'll go to Vice Chair Neely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the commission approve coastal development permit number A-1-MEN-06-052, subject to the conditions, and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Been moved by Vice Chair Neely and seconded by Commissioner Riley. The maker and seconder of the motion are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the approval of the permit as condition and adoption of the following resolutions and findings in this staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion? Commissioner Riley? Commissioner Wan?
Yes. I'm just going to ask a question about what was raised in the ex parte. I was trying to find the condition that she was referring to, but that's probably a county condition. Is that correct? Would you explain that to me? And we need to discuss the legitimacy of the concerns, because there is ongoing and current damage to the sensitive areas, the Esha. The project is closer in some locations than 50 feet, even though the damage is already there. So the question is, what are we doing to see to it that the sensitive plants are either, if they're going to be replaced, they're replaced properly, or that there's ongoing monitoring to protect them?
Yes, you're quite right, Commissioner. The condition that I believe Ms. Varan was referring to was a county condition. And that was imposed on the county's approval, where the project at that time actually had encroachment into the plant habitat. The parking lot was going to be extending into the rare plant habitat. Some of the other trail improvements would similarly do that. And so as a mitigation for impacts to Esha, the county required that they do this monitoring to ensure that overall, as time passes by, that the plant habitat is surviving. Now, our staff did not include such a condition, primarily because with the revisions to the project, they eliminated the encroachments into the sensitive habitat. There are existing trails, as you pointed out. There's an existing pullout. As modified, there is no further encroachment or expansion of any of these facilities. There is, surfacing of a couple of the trails. There is the placement of a bollard and chain arrangement to keep cars from driving beyond the existing pullout. And so we felt that there wasn't a sufficient nexus that would give us the authority to require that. Now, that being said, we have encouraged the applicant to go forward with that, and the indications are that they do intend to do some monitoring, but it isn't a requirement as laid out in the staff report.
And I think the main thing here is that these proposed changes are an improvement over the existing conditions. If they just left it alone, you'd continue to have parking out into the sensitive area and people would wander wherever. This is kind of channelizing the access, so we think it is an improvement.
Oh, understood. It's definitely an improvement. The question is whether you could ask the applicant. They are a land conservancy, and I would assume they would want to do this to make sure that where restoration is required, because there has been ongoing degradation, that they deal with that, and that they deal with it in an appropriate way.
Right, and that's we have talked with them about that, and it's our understanding that they intend to do that. And the reason that they're making these improvements is actually to protect the sensitive habitat.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves a coastal development permit for the proposed development and adopts the findings set forth in this staff report. Next item, 7, statewide.
Okay, that brings us down to item 7, which is the statewide federal consistency items. The you have a federal consistency report before you that was mailed previously that includes copies of three negative determinations issued by the executive director this past month. If you have any questions regarding these negative determinations that we can't answer, we'll forward them on to Mark Delaplane and Larry Simone, and they will answer your questions at the next meeting. So through the chair, I'd ask at this time if there are any questions on the three negative determinations in the federal consistency report.
Are there any questions from any of the commissioners? I don't hear any, so none.
Okay, that brings us to item 8, which is consistency determination CD-01307 from the Corps of Engineers. And this consistency determination involves the Corps' renewal of their nationwide permit program. On March 12th, the Corps reissued and modified 49 nationwide permits authorizing discharge of fill and construction in waters of the United States. The nationwide permits became effective on March 19th and will expire in the year 2012. The Corps renews this program every 5 years and concurrently submits a consistency determination to the Commission for the program. The Commission objected to the consistency determinations that were submitted in 1991, 1996, and 2002, finding each time that the program was inconsistent with the wetland protection policies of Section 30233 of the Coastal Act. In most cases, the construction activities that would be authorized are not allowable uses under the Coastal Act policy, and additionally, the approval in advance of any development proposal does not allow the Commission to determine if the development is the least damaging feasible alternative. And finally, most of the proposed nationwide permits do not include a requirement for mitigation of any adverse wetland impacts. An objection to the Corps' proposed nationwide permit program would not, however, eliminate nationwide permits in the coastal zone. Instead, it would maintain the existing procedure that the Commission and the Corps have used since 1991, which requires that federal consistency review of the proposed activity occur before a nationwide permit can be formally issued for that specific activity. And under that procedure, the Corps notifies the applicant that a project-specific consistency concurrence must be obtained from the Commission before the Corps will recognize the nationwide permit as being issued for that project. And depending on the circumstances, the Commission can either require a consistency certification from the applicant or waive consistency. And there's additional discussion of these procedures in the staff report on pages 11 and 12. So in conclusion, we're recommending that the Commission object to the proposed consistency determination. An objection would maintain the existing program of Commission review of nationwide permit applications and protect the Commission's authority to ensure that such permits don't lead to adverse impacts on coastal zone wetlands. And the motion and resolution are found on page 6 of the staff report.
Thank you very much. We have no speaker slips. The pleasure of the Commission.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Riley.
I move Commission concur with consistency determination CD-013-07 that the permit program described therein is fully consistent and thus is consistent to the maximum extent practicable with the enforceable policy of the California Coastal Management Program. Ask for a no vote.
Moved by Commissioner Riley, seconded by Commissioner Akajian. They're recommending both the maker and the seconder a no vote. Failure of this motion will result in an objection to the determination and adoption of the following resolutions and findings as contained in this staff report. Do you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Riley?
Well, it's just a continuation of past practice, and I think that we've worked out a system with the Army Corps that minimizes any delays this causes but still maintains the prerogatives of the Commission in terms of being able to review these projects. So since they're not even here, I'm assuming they're not concerned about it.
Thank you, Commissioner Riley. Commissioner Kajian?
I think Mr. Riley did a good job.
Thank you, Commissioner Kajian. Is there any objection to a unanimous no roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the Commission hereby objects to the consistency determination made by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for the proposed permit program on the grounds that the permit program described therein is not consistent to the maximum extent practical with the enforceable policies of the California Coastal Management Program. And then we have, oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Schallenberger had her hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up under this federal consistency section of our hearing, those of you who were there several months ago will remember when we urged the federal government not to withdraw funding of the Bald Eagle restoration work on Santa Catalina. The federal government claimed that it was because that was not a viable project, that the Bald Eagle was not going to come back onto Santa Catalina, and they preferred to move their funding, which was mitigation for the from the Montrose settlement. And since that time, there have been three chicks born on Santa Catalina on their own, and there are, I think, several more viable eggs, which they believe will result in live chicks. So I'm not sure what action we should take, and my thought is to ask staff to at least look into it and see whether or not it's appropriate for us to send a letter, or if there's anything we can do to as you recall, we made that request, and they ignored us and went ahead and did move the funding away from Santa Catalina. So I'd be curious. I feel we should do something, but I don't quite know what it is.
Commissioner Wan and then Commissioner Clark.
I'll listen to Mr. Douglas, and then I'll make it.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Schallenberger brought that to my attention a little earlier, and I have seen the newspaper accounts of the birth of those three chicks on the island, and I suggest that we contact U.S. Fish and Wildlife and NOAA and see what the status of the research program is, and if we can help by writing a letter saying we really think this research program in Catalina ought to be reinstated, then we will do that. And so I've indicated we will follow up on this.
I think that's a good idea, and I think the rest of the commission does too. So, Commissioner Wan?
Yeah, I think that's sort of at a minimum. I assume that because we took no action at the time, there's no way to deal with it.
That's right. They did not choose to follow your direction, and then our choice was to sue them or to just let it go.
Yeah.
And we didn't have the resources for litigation and elected not to sue.
Just want to point out that former chairman Meg Caldwell was very, very concerned about this particular item and made the issue that we shouldn't be withdrawing it because that's what the settlement funds were designed to do. And it's unfortunate because that program in Catalina could obviously now use the funds to help.
Commissioner Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate Commissioner Schallenberger bringing this up. I, too, noted when the bald eagle chicks were hatched, and this program, I think, is a very important program. It's also right off my coast, and I would like to see us, I certainly support staff correspondence with NOAA on this matter.
Thank you, Commissioner Clark. Any more comments on that, Director Douglas?
No, but I do just want to call to your attention something I failed to do at my report. Under miscellaneous in your packet, we did include several items of information, including some letters that we sent to the California delegation urging them to help us reinstate federal funding for the Coastal Zone Management Program. And as I did report, now the non-point program, which was zero funded by the administration, and also the press release that was issued relative to the suit against the Navy. Just wanted to call it to your attention.
Okay. Thank you for doing that. We have one, if there's not something else from the commission, we have a public comment person who would like to, so we at this time we'll go to public comment. Lee Moldaver.
Sorry.
Sir, could you state your name?
Sorry. No, you did great. It's Lee Maldaver, resident of Santa Barbara, representing the Central Coast Coastal Resource Center. I want to thank you for your work yesterday. We're about 220 people and four camera crews and one movie star and one international multi-billion-dollar conglomerate, less than we were at this time yesterday. But the work that the commission does is really significant. We value your presence every time you're here in town. I am confident, but I wanted to make sure that Director Douglas or Commissioner Wan or Commissioner Burke had shared with the entire commission last week's LA Times article by columnist Steve Lopez on the ongoing challenge in some of the major metropolitan areas of the public having public access to public beaches. And in this case, columnist Lopez attempted to gain public access to the beach near the Malibu home of Sam Zell, who is the new owner of the LA Times, and they pointed out that there were the usual lock gates and lack of signage. And we are very fortunate in this part of California that in most areas, this side of the Hollister Ranch, public access is still easy and possible. But number one, I hope that the commission got to see a reprint of that article. It's an ongoing issue in other parts of the state. Number two, Mr. Lopez is a treasure, and it reminds us that effective journalism is one of the ways that the commission is able to get the message of the Coastal Act out to the wider population. And it was in that sense, I'd also like to point out that in the throng yesterday, I don't know if any of you noticed because there were so many people, Melinda Burns was back covering the commission. And although she is one of the 44 former members of the Santa Barbara News Press, who is probably the preeminent journalist on coastal and natural resource issues in this part of California, she was now covering it for a journalistic blog site. And there might be some connection between the fact that the owner of that newspaper was one of the few people in Santa Barbara County who did not believe in coastal access or the primacy of the Coastal Act. But the work that you're doing is so important both on the staff level and on the commission level. And it's only with a strong press in all the media that the word gets out to the larger population about how important the Coastal Act is. So I want to thank you for what you did yesterday. I want to thank people like Steve Lopez for continuing to get the word out. And I wanted to thank people like Melinda Burns, who are between jobs, who continue to try to share what you're doing to the larger world. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir, for your kind comments. Yes, Director Douglas.
And as those of you who were here recall, Trudeau's series in dealing with the Yefin Accessway really got the Commission and Public Access national publicity. But we did report on this in the enforcement report yesterday, first thing in the morning. The access issue relates to Lachuza Beach, and as I indicated then, we are very serious about pursuing the violations there and trying to find an overall solution. And in fact, it turns out that parties were watching the Commission's proceedings on the Internet and immediately contacted our staff and said, we want you to know that we're cooperating. We want to resolve this. Don't go out and issue a cease and desist order. And we want to work with you. And I was very pleased to hear that. So another benefit of being live cast.
That's good. Good result. Yeah. Any other commissioners before we adjourn?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. We are looking at the possibility of a four-day meeting in June as a result of the scheduling of the Pebble Beach matter. So hopefully if we need to, Commissioner Riley can help us make sure we get that fourth day if we need it.
I think Commissioner Potter has some ins with Hyatt too, so you might get him involved.
Yeah.
Does that signal Commissioner Potter mean
yes,
yes
that's
or
his
no?
agreement to help out.
But Vanessa and I had discussed this yesterday, and I said I would call. So I'll let Vanessa know directly.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, thank you again, and please thank the people that hosted the hotel here this day. I think they were very good, and they were very helpful, and with the big crowd and everything else. So thank you.